Ekatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome, everyone, to another deep dive. Today, we're digging into an idea that sounds simple, maybe deceptively simple, but it's genuinely changed things, like how companies think about hiring, how teachers approach kids, and maybe even how you think about your own abilities.
We are talking about Dr. Carol Eskweck's big book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success.
Right. And it tackles this really fundamental question, doesn't it? Why is it that some people face, you know, huge setbacks, failing something important, losing a job, and they just bounce back stronger?
While others, and sometimes these are people with incredible natural talent, they just seem to crumble or give up. It's a puzzle.
It really is. And what struck me reading Dweck is how she traces these massive life trajectories back to, well, a core belief inside our own heads.
Exactly. It boils down to this. Do you fundamentally believe your abilities, your intelligence, your talents are fixed things you're born with? Or do you believe they can be developed?
Fixed versus growth mindset. That's the core. And the simple belief, she argues, it just shapes everything. How you handle challenges, your relationships, your success, everything.
So our goal today is to really lay out what these two mindsets look like, the fixed and the growth. But, you know, not just describe them.
No, we want to give you a kind of roadmap, how to spot your own dominant mindset, because we all have a bit of both, right? And crucially, some practical tools Dweck offers to actually, you know, shift more towards growth.
Okay, so before we dive into the mindsets themselves, maybe a quick word on the author, Dr. Carol S. Dweck.
Yeah, good idea. She's a major figure, world-renowned psychologist, currently the Lewis and Virginia Eaton Professor of Psychology at Stanford University. And importantly, she originated this whole framework.
Mm-hmm. She's the expert on this. And that's key because this isn't just like some self-help guru's opinion or feel-good philosophy.
No, not at all. Mindset is built on, what, over three decades of really careful scientific research. She actually ran studies, observed people, measured outcomes.
Yeah, lots of empirical work, especially those famous studies with kids. That's where she really nailed down the connection between how we praise children. Like, do we praise their innate smartness or their effort and how resilient they become later?
That work was huge. It genuinely changed how people thought about education, about feedback. Pretty revolutionary stuff.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of it. The fixed mindset versus the growth mindset.
Right. So the fixed mindset, if you're operating from this perspective, you basically believe your core qualities, intelligence, personality, talent, they're just static. Set in stone. You've got what you've got, and that's pretty much it.
And think about what that means day to day. If your intelligence is fixed, then any challenge, any mistake, any failure, it feels like a direct judgment on you, like a final verdict on your worth.
Ooh, yeah, that sounds stressful.
Totally. It creates this like constant need to prove yourself, to look smart, to avoid looking dumb. Failure becomes terrifying because it might expose that maybe you don't have enough of that fixed quality.
So you end up avoiding challenges.
Pretty much. Or you give up easily if things get tough. Why risk looking bad?
Okay, so then the growth mindset. That's the flip side.
Exactly. The growth mindset is built on the belief that your basic abilities, they can be developed through dedication, through hard work, through good strategies, through learning from mistakes.
So effort is actually seen as a good thing, not a sign you're lacking.
Precisely. Effort is the path to mastery. And failure, it's not a judgment on you, it's just information. It's feedback saying, okay, this approach isn't working, let's try something else.
That feels much more empowering. Less pressure.
It really is. Challenges become opportunities to learn and grow, not threats to your ego. And criticism isn't something to avoid. It's useful data.
And what I found really useful in the book is how Dweck shows this isn't just about like school tests. She applies this framework across the board.
Right. Education, definitely. But also sports, business leadership, even personal relationships. It's meant to be a kind of manual for, well, lifelong learning and resilience, really.
Okay, let's make this more concrete, that famous puzzle study you mentioned earlier. Can you walk us through that? Because that really illustrates the difference.
Sure. So Dweck and her colleagues, they gave kids a set of fairly easy puzzles. They all did pretty well. Afterwards, they praised the kids, but in two different ways.
Ah, here's the key part.
Exactly. One group was told something like, wow, you did great. You must be really smart at these. That's praising innate ability, right?
Yeah.
Fixed trait.
Got it. Praising the noun smartness.
Mm-hmm. The other group was praised for their process. Wow, you did great. You must have worked really hard. Praising effort. the action.
Okay, praising the verb working hard.
Right. Then here's the crucial part. They offered the kids a choice for the next round. They could do another set of easy puzzles like the first ones, or they could try a much harder set, one they were told they'd learn a lot from, even if they made mistakes.
And what happened? Let me guess. The smart kids.
You got it. Overwhelmingly, the kids praised for being smart, chose the easier puzzles.
Why? That seems counterintuitive.
Because, Dweck argues, they didn't want to risk failing at the harder ones and losing that smart label they'd just been given. They prioritized looking smart over the opportunity to learn, protecting the fixed identity.
Wow. So the praise actually made them less likely to take on a challenge.
Yep. Meanwhile, the kids praised for working hard. The vast majority of them couldn't wait to tackle the harder puzzles. They saw it as a chance to stretch themselves, to learn something new. The challenge was exciting, not threatening.
That is profoundly important, especially for parents, teachers, anyone giving feedback. Praising intelligence can actually backfire.
Big time. It fosters that fixed mindset, making kids afraid of effort and challenges.
So the message is praise the process, not the person's perceived fixed ability. But okay, let's tackle something people might wonder about. Is Dweck saying talent doesn't exist? Like, is Michael Jordan just someone who tried really, really hard?
Good question. No, she doesn't dismiss innate talent. Obviously, people start with different aptitudes. But she really emphasizes that talent is just the starting point. It's not the end point.
Okay.
She talks a lot about neuroplasticity. You know, the idea that the brain isn't fixed, it's more like a muscle. When you struggle, when you learn new things, when you push yourself, you actually form stronger neural connections.
Yeah.
Your brain physically changes and grows.
So effort literally makes you, well, maybe not smarter in the fixed sense, but more capable.
Exactly. Effort isn't just about trying. It's the mechanism that builds ability. So yeah, maybe Jordan had natural gifts, but his relentless work ethic, driven by that growth mindset, is what multiplied that talent into genius.
Which is why focusing on process praise is so vital. Don't just say, you're a natural artist. Say, I love how you experimented with those different colors, or your dedication to practicing that skill really showed.
Mm-hmm. Praise the strategy, the persistence, the focus, the improvement. That builds resilience and a love for the doing, not just a need to be labeled talented.
Dweck uses sports examples really effectively, doesn't she? You mentioned Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan's a classic growth mindset example for her, famously cut from his high school varsity team, right?
Yeah.
A fixed mindset person might have concluded, okay, I'm just not a basketball player.
But he didn't.
Nope. He used it as fuel, doubled down, practiced relentlessly, worked on his weaknesses. That rejection didn't define him. It motivated him. Classic growth response.
And she contrasts him with someone like John McEnroe.
Right. McEnroe, obviously immense natural talent in tennis. But Dweck points to his behavior as more indicative of a fixed mindset. Hated practice, apparently.
Really? Even at that level?
According to her analysis, yes. And when he lost, he often blamed external things. The umpire, the crowd, whatever. Less about what could I have done differently, and more about the world conspired against my inherent greatness.
So the idea is his fixed mindset might have limited how much he could evolve his game once his raw talent hit a ceiling.
That's the implication. He didn't seem to relish the grind of continuous improvement in the same way someone like Jordan did.
And this plays out in the business world too, right? Leaders can have these mindsets.
Absolutely. Dweck contrasts Lee Iacocca, especially later in his career at Chrysler, with Jack Welch at GE.
How so?
Well, Iacocca, after huge early success, seemed to shift into needing to constantly validate his own genius. Surrounded himself with people who agreed with him, apparently became resistant to criticism. The organization kind of stagnated because challenging the boss wasn't safe. That sounds like a fixed mindset leader protecting his image.
Okay, so protecting the genius's label again.
Mm-hmm. Whereas Jack Welch, at least as Dweck portrays him, fostered more of a growth culture. He looked for talent, sure, but then he really focused on developing people's potential, believed they could grow, encouraged learning, teamwork, facing reality even when it was tough.
Creating a space where it's okay to learn and maybe even stumble a bit along the way.
Right. A learning organization driven by a growth mindset at the top.
And finally, she even brings it into our personal lives, relationships. How does mindset affect love?
Well, think about it. If you have a fixed mindset about relationships you might believe in, like soulmates or finding the perfect person where everything just clicks instantly and effortlessly.
The Hollywood ideal.
Kind of, yeah. And so when inevitable conflicts or disagreements arise because, you know, people are complicated, the fixed mindset might interpret that as a fatal flaw. This isn't the one, or my partner is just fundamentally difficult. It leads to blame.
Instead of working through it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas a growth mindset approaches relationships understanding that they take work, effort, communication. Conflict isn't a sign the relationship is doomed. It's an opportunity to understand each other better, to learn, to deepen the connection.
Believing the relationship itself can grow and improve with effort.
Precisely. It's about building something together, not just finding something perfect off the shelf.
Okay, this is really comprehensive. Let's try to boil down some of the absolute key takeaways for listeners. What are the core themes we really need to internalize?
Okay, four big ones come to mind. First, and maybe most importantly, is redefining failure.
Right. This seems critical.
It is. In a growth mindset, failure isn't a judgment on your identity. You are not a failure. Failure is just data, information. It means, okay, that strategy didn't work. What can I learn? What can I try next? It separates the outcome from your self-worth.
That's a huge mental shift. Okay, what's number two?
Number two is the power of one tiny word, yet.
Ah, yes. This one is so simple, but so effective.
Isn't it? When you catch yourself thinking or saying, I can't do this, or I'm not good at this, just add that word, I can't do this yet. I'm not good at this yet.
It immediately reframes it. It implies it's temporary, that ability is on a spectrum, that progress is possible.
Exactly. It turns a closed, fixed statement into an open, growth-oriented one. Powerful stuff.
Okay, theme three.
Effort is the mechanism of ability. This flips the fixed mindset view. Effort isn't a sign of weakness or lack of talent. It's the essential ingredient for developing potential. It's the engine of growth.
So embracing effort, seeing it positively.
Mm-hmm. Not something to be ashamed of, but something to lean into.
And the fourth key theme?
That follows directly. Process praise over ability praise. We touched on this, but it bears repeating. When you're talking to yourself or your kids or your team, focus on praising the how.
The strategies, the persistence, the learning, the improvement.
Right. Not just the outcome or some fixed label like smart or talented. Praising the process builds the behaviors that actually lead to long-term success and resilience.
Got it. Redefine failure, use yet, see effort as key, and praise the process. Those are huge.
Dweck also has some really memorable ways of phrasing these ideas in the book. Little quotes that stick with you.
Oh, yeah? Like what?
Well, there's the core one. The view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. That really sums up the whole mindset concept as the master switch, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It sets the direction for everything else. What else?
I like this one. Challenging the fixed mindset's need for constant validation. Why waste time proving over and over how great you are when you could be getting better?
That cuts right to it. It highlights that defensive posture, that wasted energy just trying to maintain an image instead of actually growing.
Yeah. And another one that I think is really kind of democratizing. We don't like to think of them as relatively ordinary people who made themselves extraordinary.
That pushes back against the myth of effortless genius.
Right. It reminds us that most incredibly successful people weren't just born that way. They built their abilities through sustained effort and learning. It makes success feel more attainable for everyone.
Okay, one more maybe.
How about this one on the heart of the growth mindset? The passion for stretching yourself and sticking to it, even or especially when it's not going well, is the hallmark of the growth mindset.
That focus on persistence, on embracing the struggle.
Yeah, that feels key. Sticking with it when it's hard.
That's the differentiator.
Okay, so people listening might be thinking, this sounds great, but how do I actually do this? Let's get practical. What are some real life applications? Good call. Let's start with parenting or mentoring. The next time a child or anyone you're guiding is struggling with something, resist the urge to say, oh, it's okay. Maybe math just isn't your thing. That's fixed mindset talk.
So what do you say?
Shift immediately to process and strategy. Ask something like, okay, that's tough. What strategies have you tried so far? What else could you try? Let's brainstorm some different approaches. Focus on the action they can take.
Make it about finding a better way, not about a fixed lack of ability. Got it. What about at work, if you're a leader?
As a leader, you have a huge role in shaping the team's mindset. You need to create psychological safety. That means making it okay for people to take reasonable risks, to try new things, and yes, even to fail sometimes, as long as they learn from it.
So if someone tries an innovative project and it doesn't pan out, you don't label them incompetent.
Absolutely not. You reframe it. Okay, that didn't work as planned. What did we learn? What data did we get? How can we use this going forward? Treat setbacks as learning opportunities for the whole team. Feedback should be about improvement, not judgment.
That sounds like a much healthier work environment. Okay, what about for just us, our own personal development?
Dweck lays out a really clear 4-step process for making the shift yourself. It starts with just listening.
Step one, hear your fixed mindset voice. What does that sound like?
It's often that judgmental inner critic, right? This is too hard. If I try this and fail, I'll look like an idiot. I'm just not good at this. Don't bother. Recognizing that voice is the first step.
Okay, I can definitely recognize that voice sometimes. Step two.
Step two is simple but crucial. Recognize you have a choice. You don't have to obey that fixed mindset voice telling you to retreat or give up. You can choose a different response.
Acknowledging the choice point. Okay, step three.
Talk back to it with a growth mindset voice. This is active reframing. So if the fixed voice says, I failed, the growth voice says, okay, this approach failed. I learned X and Y. Time to try strategy Z. If the fixed voice says, I'm terrible at public speaking, the growth voice says, public speaking feels challenging yet. I can practice, get feedback, and improve.
Replacing the judgment with a plan for learning and action.
Exactly. And that leads directly to step four. Take the growth mindset action. Don't just think differently. Do differently. Embrace the challenge the fixed voice wants you to avoid. Persist when things get difficult. Ask for help or feedback. Commit to the process of learning and improving, even when it's uncomfortable.
Hear the voice, know you have a choice, talk back with growth, take the growth action that's really actionable.
Mm-hmm. It's a practice, not an overnight switch, but it's a clear path.
So as we wrap up, what's the big lasting takeaway you get from Dweck's work?
For me, it's just how incredibly powerful our internal narrative is. That voice in our head, our attitude towards effort, how we frame failure. It literally shapes who we become and what we achieve. Hmm. We're not necessarily stuck with the talents we think we have. Often the biggest thing holding us back is just the belief that our potential is fixed.
Mm.
Realizing that is, well, it's incredibly liberating, isn't it?
Mm. It really is. For me, the most surprising thing was learning how potentially harmful praising kids for being smart can be. That was a real eye-opener. But the concept that sticks with me the most, the one I try to use daily, is just that simple, powerful word, yet.
Ah, yes. The magic word.
Yeah. Just adding yet to any statement of limitation, I don't understand this. Yet. I can't run that far. Yet. It just instantly opens up possibility. It makes challenges feel less like brick walls and more like hurdles you can learn to jump over. It feels hopeful.
Hopeful and actionable. That's a great way to put it.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.